This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Final hour of Grant and Danny on what is a gorgeous Friday in and around Washington, D.C. Thank you, as always, for listening to the show. We know you've got a lot of options, and in some cases you're working a little bit harder to make sure you're able to listen to the show at this point during the coronavirus pandemic. Over 83,000-plus cases now in the United States reported, the most coronavirus cases in the world for the first time yesterday, exceeding China, Italy, more than 83,000 infections and over 1,200 deaths, according to the data from Johns Hopkins. But we're trying to give you some normalcy. We're trying to get your mind as often as we can off of some of those things, and the show pushes on. And one of the things we've been doing for fun this week is we've had broadcasters on from your favorite D.C. sports clubs and broadcast networks to announce themselves, calling play-by-play of themselves doing household chores. It all started with Joe Beninati doing some laundry and Dave Jagler making a sandwich. Justin Kutcher was kind enough to make his bed. And yesterday we kept the train on the tracks with Larry Michael and Danny as Sonny, broadcasting
Sonny.
Larry Michael feeding his dogs, which was pretty epic. If you missed any of those things, you can always grab the podcast and rewind on radio.com. But John Walton, the voice of the Capitals, you hear him on the Caps Radio Network, is with us on Grant and Danny now. John, I'm sorry that you're not working and calling games. We miss you like heck, man. What have you been up to?
Well, you're doing a lot of household stuff, I guess, whether it was getting the dogs out this morning. They still love to be fed. They got to get out and do their business in the morning. You've got to make the coffee. It's my wife's birthday today, Jen's birthday under quarantine. So the big thing that I did today was make a birthday cake, which I had never done ever before.
Like, how's your baking game, John? Is it good?
You know, it's not very good, Danny, really, if I'm going to be honest with you. I think the thing is with me around the kitchen, I'm a big fan of food. I like it when it's prepared for me, whether it be in a restaurant or otherwise. But being able to follow instructions on the back of a cake box, making sure that the eggs and the vegetable oil and the water are all in symbiotic relationship with one another, making sure that you have it all mixed up the way that it's supposed to go. And then the dicey part, at least at the beginning of all that, making sure that you break the eggs and you don't put the egg bits into the rest of your mix, because that's not going to go very well for anybody later on. But I believe I managed to do that. I believe I managed to get the mix to the right consistency, getting it into the glass pan. I did look this morning to find out that I didn't have the round traditional cake pan. I have the Pyrex elongated whatever you want to, a rectangle. Let's just go with rectangle.
Yeah.
Probably about right.
That's the baking term, I think.
It's a baking term. You want to get every bit of the batter that you have now constructed into your rectangle pan. And then the real moment is, do you have it all right? When it goes in the oven, do you feel good about it? And I did. I'm still waiting for it to come out, actually. So sometime in the next few minutes, I'm going to know if I was successful or not. I hope that I was. I'm hoping that when this is all over, that I don't have to worry about quarantine cakes anymore, and maybe I can just go to the store and pick one up, which has been my traditional method of doing this my entire life until today. But that's where we stand right now with the birthday cakes.
Love it.
John Walton on Grant and Danny. All right, so very descriptive and a thorough analysis there. If you would, I would love – And maybe it's as simple as you just watching over the cake, telling us what you're seeing now. But it would be great. I mean, we want to make sure your skills are sharp for when the Caps come back. Ovi is saying that he wants to go right into the playoffs, so you won't have any time to ramp back up, John. You're going to have to launch back into it. So if you can kind of hit the button for some actual play-by-play right now of exactly what you're doing in your kitchen, that would mean a lot to us on Grant and Danny.
Well, looking into the oven right now, I can see that the cake is starting to rise, and that is an important component of this. If the cake doesn't rise, then you're not going to have anything to frost. If you don't have anything to frost, you don't have anything to put candles in. If you don't have anything to put candles in, then it's not going to be the greatest of birthdays for Jen because she didn't get a cake. I couldn't get to the store, so now just watching it rise. It's not happening very quickly. This is a span that takes anywhere between 28 to 33 minutes. We're only about 18 or 19 minutes into it right now. So right now, this moment is fraught with peril. Is this going to turn out the way that I hoped? Were the eggs enough? Was the oil enough? Was the water enough? Did everything come together out of the box as it was supposed to? I feel very confident that this is going to be a good outcome, but until you get to the finish line, you really don't know what you're going to end up with. And I think right now, in these next few minutes, critical down between now and when the time expires to be able to come out with a victory. Confidence of success, yes, I think so. But I think right now it's that moment in waiting that you really you want to believe. It's okay to believe. I think it's okay to believe. I'm not entirely sure it's okay to believe, but right now I think that we will have a cake sometime in the next few minutes, maybe.
Boys and girls, yes. John Walton
yes.
makes a cake live on the radio. And this is the first baking that we've had done. I was kind of hoping for this for a little while, John,
yeah,
and you're delivering, which is great. I want to go back. You've got a couple of sayings at the end of games or things that you go to, and I'm wondering where they started and kind of how they came about, because we don't often get you on not to talk about the Caps, or we could talk about you a little bit. But good morning, good afternoon, and good night. Like, is that something you were doing at Hershey before the Caps? How long have you been doing that?
I started doing it in Hershey, and I started doing it pretty early on in my time there. In fact, they hadn't even affiliated with the Caps yet, so this is going back to maybe 2004. And it just came out at the end of a big game one night against the Penguins, funny enough, which is more than a little ironic now. But at the time, Hershey was chasing a playoff spot. They had a last-second victory, and they did it on the road. And it came out, good morning, good afternoon, good night, Wilkes-Barre Scranton. And we got on the bus, and they get the game tape to the coach. And our coach at the time turned around and said, "Hey, I liked what you said at the end of the game." And I was like, "Oh, well, maybe it should hang around." Well, the next night they played the same team and they had the same result, and I did it again. And it just kind of built from there. Now, the funny thing is, I did it for years in Hershey, and I wasn't going to bring it to Washington. I thought it was just a Hershey thing. I'm not going to bring it with me. But what happened was, the first person to interview me, Tariq El-Bashir was still at the Post at the time when I got here, and he called to do the story on me for the Post about coming to Washington. And it was the very first question he asked me. He said, "Are you going to do that good morning, good afternoon, good night thing that you did?" Because the Bears had won championships, and they were broadcast back when it was still Comcast Sportsnet here. And so people in Washington already kind of knew, if they were paying attention, when the Bears were winning. And I was calling the games. And I said, "Well, I hadn't really thought about it, but I thought maybe I wouldn't." And actually, I credit Tariq for this. I actually held on to it because he had asked me right off the bat when he interviewed me the very first time. And we've been friends now, what, almost 10 years. But Tariq probably had as much to do with that. And I said, "You know what? What the heck? I'll keep it. And the rest is, I guess, history."
So obviously calling games is the whole. I mean, that's what we miss you doing. And I'm sure you miss doing it as well. What's something that we wouldn't know that you miss right now with there not being hockey?
You know what? The strange thing is, the press box camaraderie is really, there's a lot of people that you see day to day, you know, from the Post. I mean, there have been several writers over the years, used to be Isabel, now Samantha Pell, Tom Galitti from NHL.com, Tariq, J.J. Regan from NBC Sports Washington. We spend our days together almost every day at home, and then Samantha and Tariq travel most of the time. The people on the plane, like the camaraderie that you develop over the course of a season, let alone multiple seasons of people together, you don't really realize. I don't know that I realized until it was suddenly taken away how much that you miss that everyday companionship where you're just looking at line rushes or we're laughing, we're joking around. The booth at home, we always say in the radio booth that the sometimes the most fun that we have in the course of the evening are the 30 minutes before we go on the air, and it's the stuff that people don't hear, that we laugh at each other, and we have a lot of jokes that are at each other's expense. A lot of Ben Raby, to be perfectly honest with you. But we have a really good time doing what we do. And in addition to the, of course, the games are the focus. The games are what we live for. The Caps winning, the Redskins winning, the Wizards winning, the Nats winning. That's why we do what we do. But the people that we do it with, Ken Saver, and I talk with Kenny. I haven't talked to him every day, but I've talked to him most days. Ben is busy in the kitchen, I think, as well, actually, according to Twitter. I think he's trying to make a cake for some reason, and it was completely independent of me doing it. But keeping in touch with those guys and just the laughs that we have and the good times that we have in and around the game, when that's taken away, that's tough. And I think anyone that hangs out in a broadcast booth for any length of time, whether you're a beat writer, or whether you work in the truck, or whether you develop the strongest relationships with people, and that isolation, that's tough. Like when you're home and you're inside the walls, yeah, you can call and yeah, you can FaceTime, you can do all those things. But being able to throw the headset on and talking to my Calla down the line, or talking to Ben, or talking with Tim Parker, all the guys that help produce the show and get us on the air and take care of us and engineer the broadcast. Those are the people that mean the most to you. And to be able to have that separation now, that to me, outside of not having any sports at all on television, not having baseball to see, not listening to Charlie and Dave. I mean, listen, I'm a Nats guy, a baseball guy, as much as I am a hockey guy. And to not have opening day yesterday, that was probably my toughest day yet. But just that the relationships you have with the people that you see every day, I can't wait to get back and do that again.
John Walton, Caps Games is where you have heard this voice time and time again on The Fan. Hey, we've only got about 30 seconds here, but we've told people about the sports broadcasters in town that you've helped to launch Voices of D.C. to help feed the city, benefiting, among others, Martha's Table, D.C. Central Kitchen, and the Capilera Food Bank. All the broadcasters you guys are familiar with, the guys who have been coming on the show all week, you can on Cameo at $25. Get them to do something, say something, and some of that money is going to go to that cause. How can people get involved? Is it just going to the Cameo accounts, or what's the best way to do that?
Best way to find us all is go to cameo.com, and if you want Larry Michael to call a touchdown for the Redskins with your kid's name in it, if you want a happy birthday from me, or if you want a shout-out from Joe Beninati, Craig Laughlin, Charlie and Dave, FP Santangelo, every team represented, go to cameo.com, punch up our names, and you can come up there, and all of us are $25. If you can dream it, we can do it. And all the money that we raise goes to the aforementioned D.C. food banks, and we're happy to do it. It keeps us connected with the fans, and at the same time, hopefully making people's days a little bit brighter. We can feed some people in D.C. too.
Yeah,
Thank you, John.
It's a great idea, John. Thank you, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
Good having you on the show. Be well. There's John Walton. I cannot wait until he's calling games again right here on 106.7 The Fan. You're listening to Grant and Danny. Nick Sundberg is with us at 1:30 today. Next, Bruce Arians on Antonio Brown. The rumor was that he was going to play with Tampa Bay to be with Tom Brady. What did Arians say about that? Next, right here on G&D.
I'm aware of the situation that I'm into. It's a unique situation. For me, all I have to do is continue to be myself. Last year, I don't want to speak on New Orleans too much, but when I was in New Orleans, I was behind the guy in the Greeks. And, I knew that when Drew got injured, I had big shoes to fill in. And I just constantly reminded myself to just be you. Be the best version of Teddy that I could be. And by doing so, it allowed me to be a better teammate, better football player, and a better person in the community.
Teddy Bridgewater, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and 1,300 yards in his 5 starts in 9 games with the Saints last year. He will take over as the starter in Carolina. The Panthers are not expected to be all that good this season. First year for Matt Rhule as their new head coach, coming off of a year that was bad enough to get Ron Rivera fired with about a month to go. But he does have Christian McCaffrey and DJ Moore on offense. McCaffrey, probably the best, most complete all-around running back in football. Moore, maybe the game's most underrated wide receiver, went for 1,000 yards in his second season last year. So there's a couple weapons to work with there. I don't think he's going to be a star in Carolina. I don't think he's suddenly going to become one of the better quarterbacks in football. But I fully expect a few 20-plus touchdown, you know, around 10 interception seasons strung together, where Teddy Bridgewater is far from the problem for the Panthers. I think he is a very solid NFL starter for an average team. My question is, you know, is he the kind of guy you win a title with? Is he a complete caretaker? And the answer is probably, yeah, you can win a championship with him if you have a great defense and a good running game, a la when he was starting and getting to the playoffs in Minnesota.
Yeah, you need a special set of circumstances for Teddy B to be your guy. It means you've got to have a really well-built team, and he's not going to make up for any deficiencies. You know, I've always liked Teddy Bridgewater, maybe more than I probably should have, to be honest with you, but I never thought he was a world beater. I never thought you draft Teddy Bridgewater, you don't need to figure out anything else on offense because he'll make everybody better. He's not that good. I think he's a win-with guy. I think you'd put him in that category. You've got some small samples of him doing that. Decent clubs in Minnesota that weren't in any danger of competing for a title. Held his own when he checked in against New Orleans, doing a little bit more maybe than people thought. Throwing deep maybe more often, despite what scouting reports might have said. He's fine. Maybe even you would say pretty good in the right circumstances. Now, if he goes to Cincinnati tomorrow, they're not 8-8. You know what I mean? Like, he can't do magic. He's not good enough to make up for deficiencies in personnel. So I don't see this as a great marriage for a team that's rebuilding. He's a, you know, sort of bridge guy for them, trying to make sure that they can maybe find somebody in the future that they don't have yet.
I want to talk Antonio Brown with you for just a moment before we get to Nick Sundberg at the bottom of the hour at 1:30. So for weeks we have heard that Tom Brady and Antonio Brown have a great relationship. And that even after Brown left New England, Brady was annoyed by that and wanted to bring him back. And in fact, they kept their relationship going while Brown was acting a fool off the field. According to the reports, enough that Brady and him were in contact pretty regularly. And the idea was when Brady got a job that Brown would soon follow. And it was like a package deal, which I never completely bought. But Brady's now a Tampa Bay Buck. We know that. He's going to be the starting quarterback of the Bucks. It's not like they need wide receivers, by the way. They have Mike Evans. They have Chris Godwin. They have a very deep depth chart of pass catchers, including O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate. But right away, people start asking, well, wait a second. We heard 2 weeks ago, wherever Brady goes, Brown could follow. Does that mean Antonio Brown could end up playing for Tampa Bay? Bruce Arians has squashed this. He is saying not a thing, not even close. This is via CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
There you go.
There's no room.
Yeah.
And probably not enough money, but it's just not going to happen. It's not a fit here.
Interesting. Well, there is room though, because you lost Perriman. I don't know if he says I'm coming in on the veteran minimum, coach. I just want to play with Tom. You still wouldn't find a way to get him in?
No.
Wow. Is it just because you don't trust what he could do to the culture? Why so steadfast that you would not give it a chance?
Yeah, I just know him, and it's not a fit in our locker room.
I just know him. Oh, I love that. Honestly, play Celebration if you could for me, Tom. Play a song that pumps people up. I mean, this is good news during this coronavirus pandemic. This is the type of thing that should cheer you up, that can get you out of your seat and fist pump to the heavens. This is great for all of us, and here's why. I'm a process over results guy. Yes, game ball, Bruce Arians.
Yeah.
That's right. Give him another one, Tom. Give him a second game ball. I need, when people act foolish, when they don't act like professionals, when they don't act like adults, when they do not act like a functioning member of society, when they don't operate under the same rules as the rest of us, when they just let their kids walk around in the restaurant and touch people's plates, when they decide that they're going to play music really loudly and everyone around them in their townhouses are going to hear it deep into the evening, when they do silly, stupid, ridiculous things, illegal or otherwise, I need people to understand that that's unacceptable. In our society, we are dumbing down what's acceptable. It's now funny, eye emoji rolling, let's all do tear emojis because Odell Beckham slapped a cop on the ass. No, that's unacceptable. That's ridiculous. Please stop slapping cops on the butt. Please don't act like a child. Give him a gasser. Thank you. You're not 3 years old. It's not cute or funny. Going trick-or-treating when you're 26 isn't funny. It's ridiculous. Don't do it. And for some reason, we're just – it's all – I'm not going to blame the Kardashians, but everything's just becoming okay. It doesn't matter if you're qualified or not for the job. Do you have enough money? Doesn't matter if you have decorum or not. Do you treat people correct? Do you say the right things publicly? Nothing matters. It's just all hilarious. Tear emojis. Let's all have fun, though. No, stop having fun. Antonio Brown shouldn't get another job. No team should bring him back into the league. The Patriots doing it was ridiculous, and it screwed everyone else over, and it gave Antonio Brown a platform, and it made what he did look okay, and it was infuriating to me. And by Bruce Arians saying this, it means there's one less team that is willing to suffer his nonsense. He doesn't get a seat at the table. He should never play in the league again, and we need to stop giving people a seat at the table that don't belong. We are getting dumber and dumber and dumber as a society. We are accepting more and more and more ridiculous things. Act like an adult. Act like a professional. Take care of your common man. Be decent to people. If you can't figure that out, you don't get a seat at the table. So,
stop having fun is my favorite quote of that rant. That was my favorite. That was great.
Did I say stop having fun?
Yeah, it was right in the middle there. And it was in context, but I'm going to take it out of context and tweet that bad boy because it was awesome. No,
I don't even know what that was in reference to. But my point is, I need Antonio Brown to not get to play in the league again. Because you're good at football doesn't mean you get to do all of the crazy things he's done. Harm, mentally, physically, otherwise, like all of the people, I guess not physically, but all the people that he has, all of the stuff that has happened, none of that, you know, should be just looked past because he can catch footballs. And I'm so over it. So this is great news, Danny. It's great news.
It is. And again, it helps to be in Bruce Arians' spot, right, where you just acquired Tom Brady, so the eyes are upon you, and you have the best receiving tandem in the sport. You know what I mean? So it is a nice luxury to have that and be able to say, yeah, we don't need him. Maybe a couple teams might be more willing to give him a shot, but there's no reason for Tampa to come off the perch. And they're in a win-now mode, and they're probably not terribly welcoming to whatever antics may come with signing Antonio Brown.
OBJ wilding out today. Ho-ho! He slapped a cop on the butt. Whoa!
Please don't do that.
Tear emojis, high five emojis, hand to my face palm emoji. He's funny, man. He's a funny guy. No, he's not. He's not funny. He needs to not slap cops on the butt ever again. We need to stop doing that. Why is the cop there? Doesn't matter. Stop slapping cops on the butt. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Nick Sundberg joins us next. We'll play Two Truths, One Lie. We'll have to find the lie in what he's telling us next. Trivia question for those of you listening. Doesn't matter if you're in the car or at home. Who is the longest tenured Washington Redskin? If you said long snapper Nick Sundberg, you'd be right.
You got
it. Sundberg, who has played in 136 games over 10 seasons here in Washington, is with the team and has dated back to, I think, late 2009 when he was brought in. Since the 2010 season, has been on the field with the Redskins, now 32 years old. Just an old savvy veteran now going into his 11th year, joining us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline on Grant and Danny. What's up, Nicholas? How are you?
Hey, just wonderful. How are you boys doing?
Good, buddy.
We're doing great. We decided we wanted to play a game, and so you were one of the first people I thought of to call. And that game is going to be Two Truths, One Lie. So, Danny, what I told Nick was, to make it a little more fun, you'll get to try to spot a lie here, and I'll get to try to find a lie as well, as Nick is going to play a little round for both of us, okay? So we get to ask him questions. He tells the truth about the two that are truthful. He's going to lie in his answers about the one that's a lie, and then you'll have to guess when you feel comfortable about what he's lying about. Feel good about it?
Let's do it.
All right, Nick, have you come up with a couple of sneaky secret lies for us?
I have. Who's going first?
I think Danny can go first.
All right, you guys ready?
Yeah, go for it, dude.
All right. I've watched the entire MCU in chronological order, totaling 7.5 days of television. I'm allergic to shellfish, and I'm my wife's second favorite NFL player.
Okay, Danny, you got to ask the questions here. I've got my own questions, but I'm going to defer to you here for a moment.
All right, very well. Who's your favorite NFL player?
Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn Lynch. That doesn't sound like her. That's a little bit out of character.
Sounds...
That's interesting.
Okay.
How'd you find out you were allergic to shellfish?
Well, didn't have much growing up, but I went to my grandma's house for a big crab leg dinner, like boil or whatever, and broke out in crazy hives. Had to go to the hospital. It was nuts.
I don't have any questions about the entire MCU thing in order because I really believe that you did that. So I'm really focused on the shellfish thing and Marshawn Lynch being your favorite. What criteria does Flo give for you being number two behind Marshawn Lynch?
Well, as you know, both Floor and I are Cal grads, and I played with Marshawn in college. So she knew him actually before she met me because they were the same year. She's a year older than me. They both are. Spent some time in the dorms together. She just thought he was a super nice guy and followed his career forever. And he was in the NFL before me, so that's what her criteria is.
Did you ever have to go to the hospital for your shellfish thing?
When I was six, that was the only time.
That sounded convincing.
That was the time I'm guessing he was referring to at the grandma's house, right, Nick?
Yeah, so that was it.
Right.
I thought I had this one, GP, but he's good. Damn it.
Are you sure it's not the Marvel universe? That's a lot of movies.
I feel like he's definitely done that.
But he was. Were you saying that you've done it all like during this pandemic recently?
No. We did it a couple years ago before the first last Avengers movie.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I definitely feel like he did that. All right, I think I've got my guess, GP, but I don't feel strongly about it. That last, how quickly and how readily he was telling me about it. Oh, I was 6 years old. It's the only time that you don't eat shellfish anymore because of that. I bought that, so now I don't know anymore. Should I go ahead and guess?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm gonna say the shellfish thing is bogus. I think you love crab legs.
That is correct.
Nailed it.
Hey!
Well done, Danny.
Yeah. Oh, I was nervous about that.
All right, so you did well.
That was such a good answer, Nick. That was really convincing.
That was convincing. So if I get it, then we find out Nick Sundberg's a bad liar, I guess. But
it's true.
The one. So when you initially said that your wife likes an NFL player more than you, I'm thinking, probably
Tress
not. Right, it's like Dustin Hopkins or some like friend of yours.
Somebody, yeah.
But then knowing that you both went to that college, it was such a thorough, detailed story, I started to buy in on that a little bit. All right, so I guess it'll be round two now. It's my turn. Have you prepared some more facts and lies about yourself?
Yeah, I'm sorry I was so truthful about the whole Marshawn thing.
You had a lot of details there.
Sorry for telling
the truth,
guys.
Lot more details to it, too, but it was too much to go into. But all right, so here's for you. This one's for you, Grant.
All right.
Ready?
Yep.
I love to snowboard. I've been to 18 countries. And when I was four, I was watching our neighbor's guinea pig, and it died. So my mom had to replace it with a lookalike.
Oh, my God.
Jinxie Cat style from Meet the Parents.
Jinxie Cat. I mean, if that's true, that is an all-time story. Oh, my goodness. That's incredible. Oh, okay, let me start with that, because how do I hear that and not start there? Did the neighbors find out, like, to this day, do they know that your mom did that?
No.
Why is Petey acting strange?
What color was the guinea pig?
It was like that half white and light brown like color. You know how those guinea pigs have like weird colors.
I do. Yeah, I know a lot about that. How did she replace it? Did you guys go buy one from somewhere? Like, what did you do?
Yeah, she called my uncle, and her and him. Well, she made him throw it away, and then they went down to the mall to that weird whatever those pet stores in the mall are and found a guinea pig.
All right.
I'm assuming they had to go to multiple places, but I was four. I don't really remember all the details.
Sure. 18. Well, you just. Did you do anything to kill the guinea pig, or did it just die on your watch?
It just died on my watch.
So you didn't Chris Farley love your pet so much that you choked it?
I didn't mean like, did you like throw it against something? What I meant was like, did you not feed it enough? Were you like irresponsible? That kind of thing.
No. No, definitely not.
Okay. Let's go. 18 countries. Last country you went to, how recently?
Last OTAs.
Okay. See, I think that's possible because Nick loves soccer and he travels the world to watch soccer. The problem I'm having is when you play professional football, I feel like that's not a lot of time to travel, but maybe he just goes hard in the off seasons. Last one, snowboarding. Where's your favorite place to snowboard?
I grew up going up to Snowbowl and Flagstaff, so, I mean, I've been to Tahoe once. That's amazing, but, I mean, the hour, 45-minute drive up to Flag is where it's at.
Okay. Last question I've got for you, Nick, would be, when snowboarding, what is the most difficult thing for you from a skill standpoint? Like, what do you struggle with? What are you good at when it comes to snowboarding?
I'm fine going downhill. I don't do any jumps or anything, especially once I got into high school and started playing football. So I keep it safe. No crazy activities or anything. But I just like snowboard.
All right. I think 18's a lot, Danny. I'm going to say the lie is that he has been to 18 countries. Mm. The guinea pig thing is hysterical, but even Nick Sundberg's mind, I don't think he could just make that up.
That's diabolical.
That is unbelievable. The snowboarding, I'll buy it. He had some decent answers there.
Yeah,
so
West
I'm gonna
Coast
say,
guys do stuff like that. They just like will drive 2 hours and
correct.
Snowboard, bro.
Yeah, you know? Why not? Yeah. So I'm going to say 18 countries. You've been to 18 countries. That was the lie.
I'm sorry, Grant.
Ooh.
I have never been snowboarding.
It'd be really funny. It'd be funny if he says, the guinea pig thing didn't really happen. So wait, so forget about snowboarding now. You win, I lose. Two truths, one lie. The guinea pig thing's real?
Yeah. We weren't home. So I grew up in Phoenix. It's really hot. And it was like the middle of summer. We weren't home when the neighbor kid, he was like 6 or 7 at the time, dropped it off. So we told him to just put it on the back patio. We didn't know he kept it in a glass terrarium.
Oh,
he actually set it under our tree in the shade, and you know we came home an hour later. The sun had moved, and so did the shade, and just baked that guinea pig.
Oh no, poor guy! And so instead of just calling them and saying, "Hey, the guinea pig is cooked," that's a bad choice of words.
Yeah,
but instead of
utterly cooked,
I mean that was really bad. That's just a word I use. Yeah, that was bad. I'm sorry. Instead of calling them and saying the guinea pig is no more.
So
I just feel terrible. This is very uncomfortable. Instead of saying it's over, it's over, Johnny. Your mom just said we have to go buy one that looked like it?
Yeah. That was her first response. She called my uncle. He came over. She made him, like, take it out to the trash. And
basically, he took the body out on the boat and dropped it in the water.
For like 11 bucks.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, on the end of a stick, that sort of thing. And
oh, my
They
gosh.
Went and found a new one.
Did it
Amazing.
Look identical? Do you remember? I mean, how could the people not notice?
I don't know. It's a guinea pig. I feel like they all look alike.
Wow. What an amazing story, Nick.
That's great, dude.
That's outstanding. I mean, it's not for the guinea pig, but it's just.
Don't tell my mom I ever told that story on air.
She's going to get a call from the neighbor. You don't know this, but the neighbor's like a big P1 listener to Grant and Dave.
I know, right?
Yeah.
We'll see what kind of reach we have. Well, Nick, that's the first time we've taken a stab at Two Truths, One Lie with a Redskins player on Grant and Danny.
Good job, buddy.
It's a good start.
I feel like it went well.
I think so, too. I think we got something brewing here, buddy. Thank you.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys.
All right. Well,
we'll
be calling you again soon because we don't have anything to talk about.
Good deal. Take care.
All right. There's Nick Sundberg. Wow. Didn't see that coming. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. I apologize for my word choice. And nobody was harmed. No animals were harmed in the making of this segment. You're listening to The Fan. New Redskins quarterback Kyle Allen expected to back up Dwayne Haskins, acquired via trade this week from Carolina. Talk to Redskins.com. You'll hear what he said. Got a couple of quotes and some sound bites for you coming up in just a few minutes before we get out of here on Grant and Danny. Chad Dukes versus the world today at 2 o'clock. I do want to remind you that on Sunday you can hear us again. We will not be together, but we will be on the air. 9 a.m. I will be hosting with Eric Bickle. And at noon on Sunday, Danny will be on the air with Pete Medhurst, so you can get your G&D fix throughout the day on Sunday if you're out and about traveling in the car, having to make the grocery store run for the week, obviously keeping your distance ideally. Whatever it is that you're doing at home, you can make sure via the Amazon Alexa or your Google Home Radio.com to keep tuning us in. We'll be on the air on Sundays as we try to give you as much content as possible moving forward. Keep life as normal as we can. Before we get to those cuts from Kyle Allen, though, Chris in Hyattsville has been waiting very, very patiently. Chris, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good, guys. I don't even have a topic, so.
hey, you waited long enough. You just talk about whatever you want at this point.
You've earned it.
First, I'd like to start with thanking all your producers and engineers for putting together the show day after day, helping me maintain my sanity by having you guys on air. I really appreciate it. Those guys don't get enough credit.
Also,
remember that time the Nationals won the World Series?
Yes,
hey,
thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay.
And by the way, Chris, I haven't thought about this until this second, but if there's no baseball season, and I desperately want there to be, they'll be the defending champions for longer than anyone ever has been before.
Just like UVA basketball, man. Still the champs. Who's dethroned them, right?
Silver lining,
okay,
I guess.
Okay, so I was thinking about something today when you guys were talking about whether or not the teams would have a season or not. Do you remember when we drafted Ovechkin, they had no season? So technically, we still had the number one pick and could have drafted Crosby.
Did they? How did that work? I don't remember that.
I don't remember the specifics.
Yes, because they didn't get the number one pick the next year again.
No, the Pens did out of like some kind of random lottery. So they could have had Ovechkin and Crosby back to back.
Yeah,
and technically, they probably should have. Could you imagine? Okay.
That would have been crazy, yeah. In other words, in the NFL, basically, your point is Bengals, rather, if there was like no season this year for some reason, could pick Joe Burrow and then like Trevor Lawrence next year or whatever.
Let them compete.
That's exactly what happened to hockey, but they did some kind of, I don't know, they threw dice or there was like, but anyway, one thing I was just thinking about, I do miss baseball so much. I'm not looking forward to potentially losing 1 year of Victor Robles and Juan Soto in their prime, right? I mean, they're still young enough that we can recover from it, but we're potentially losing one of the greatest seasons in baseball, and that's history, if Soto doesn't play this year.
So true.
I don't mean to bring the show down on, but that's the one thing that I really am upset about this whole part is not getting to see these guys play the game, and Ovechkin too, not being able to get the 50 goals. Those are the kinds of things that I'm going to miss the most this year.
Yeah, I'm actually jotting that down, Chris, because I think that's a great topic. Thanks for the call. I think you even tweeted me this, and I wrote it down before, but this idea of, like, sports-wise, what are we missing out on? Earlier we talked about how the pending free agents to be in a year would still be free agents. So think about, like, Adam Eaton with 1 year left on his deal. He would get to be a free agent. What I didn't think about when he brings up is you're banking on, say, 6 years of Juan Soto. It's now five. You're banking on these X amount of years where you get these guys, and now one is gone when you're probably not going to be able to re-sign Soto as we saw with Harper and Rendon. That stinks.
And it's at the year where they're great value. You know, the system is the system. You want to object about it for young players and it's not fair to them, then do that and change it. But that's not kind of where the conversation is. Given the way that everything is built at the moment, right, that's the greatest advantage in all of sports, having young, controllable talent that performs like a superstar at, you know, a mere fraction of the cost. Juan Soto plays like a $35 or $40 million a year player at, a 50th of that, however the math works out, right? So losing that is a huge deal on multiple levels.
We will have to wait on our reaction to Kyle Allen's first public comments since being acquired by the Redskins, as we're just about out of time. But Chad will be getting into that on his program, which starts at 2 o'clock. Of course, tomorrow, right here on The Fan, Chad and Cakes will be doing a show. And the other show on Saturday, I believe, is JP and Bish Bucks.
Yes.
Two of the Junks.
That's what that is.
Otherwise, it's me and EB and Danny and Pete keeping you company on Sunday. It's been a fun week of shows, Danny. Remember, the movie to watch this weekend is the documentary on Netflix about the crazy tiger guy that everyone's been talking about.
Tiger King, mullet, weird mustache.
Why don't you send us out of here, Danny, officially and formally.
Have a great weekend, all about.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.